Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord this morning? You got me? God is good, and I'm so excited on what God is doing at Grace Crossing Church, aren't you? Because I don't know if you've recognized it or can see it or can even feel it, but the atmosphere of Grace Crossing has begun to take a change. And it took individuals seeking after God to say, we're not happy with just playing church. We don't want to just go Sunday morning and just check the box. We want to come expecting you to move in lives. We come expecting you to change lives. That's what we come to church for, right? Where hearts can be mended. Where the Word of God is delivered. And I am so thankful that we have a Pat, and I'm not just saying that because his wife is here this morning, but I'm so thankful that we have a pastor who fervently seeks after God and what God wants. We're grateful. We're blessed that we have that church, because not all churches have that. Amen. So I'm going to go into the Word of God this morning, into a familiar verse that you all know, but as I was going throughout the week, or actually God gave me this Monday morning, and I was reading in the Word of God, and I was reading in 2 Timothy, and chapter 1 is where we'll be going to in 2 Timothy. And I'm going to be talking to you this morning about fear. And we see in chapter 1, verse 7, where it says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And I'm going to read that again. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Let's pray over the reading of the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, Spirit of the Most High God, Lord, we call upon You this morning. We call upon You to move within this service. Let the words that I say not be my words, but Your words. Let it not be my thoughts, but Your thoughts. Let Your heart be delivered today. Lord, I pray that You use me as Your vessel to say what Your people need to hear this morning. And in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. 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 The title of my sermon this morning is simply, Fear is a Liar. And through life's twists and turns, through its ups and through its downs, through its struggles and victories, through its sorrows, through its joy, these are the things that we can count on that at some point in our life we will experience, because we go through seasons of our life. Sometimes those seasons are up and sometimes those seasons are down. There will be times when we stand in awe at the work of God's hand. Whether it be because God has answered a prayer, because he gave us this job that we had been asking for, or if it's healing of the body, or financial provision that God is giving us, loved ones being saved. These are the good times. These are the times when we walk boldly with our head held high, with a smile that spans from ear to ear. These are the times when it's easy for us to go out into the world and talk about how great God is. These are the times when we are eager to share because everything's going good. But on the opposite side of that, there is also going to be times when the situation you've been asking for doesn't quite turn out the way that you planned. You begin to question God in all of His might and in all of His power. Why isn't He providing for you? Why isn't He performing on your behalf? And that confidence that you had during those good times, it doesn't really seem as strong anymore when you're going through those bad times. It's in these times, in these bad times, that doubt can begin to seep in. Confusion begins to obscure vision. These are the times that if we allow, fear can control our life. Fear can rule the course of action that we take. It's during these times in how we handle that fear that can determine whether or not we live in God's promises, or listen to me, or if we wallow in unbelief. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but God gave us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. God did not give us the spirit of fear. Fear is the single most powerful emotion that we experience in the world today. There's fear of the future. There's fear of the past. There's fear of embarrassment. There's fear of rejection. Fear, fear, fear. That list can go on and on and on. Fear grips us. Fear controls us. Fear persuades our thoughts, determines our actions. It twists the truth in a way that we don't know up from down, right or wrong. Fear ultimately weighs us down and sets boundaries around our abilities. Webster's dictionary defines fear as this: fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the awareness or anticipation of danger. As we've been studying through the book of Genesis, we've been studying about the creation and how God created the world. And then we just started studying about Adam and Eve. It was these two individuals that were the very first ones to ever experience this unhealthy fear. Now, I want you to understand that I'm saying unhealthy fear. Because the fear that I'm talking about that Adam and Eve experienced in the beginning was healthy fear that later turned into unhealthy fear. Because Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." This is the healthy fear. Fear in this context conveys a positive reference. It's this type of fear that acknowledges God's good intentions. This fear is produced by God's word and makes a person receptive to wisdom and knowledge. So I don't want you to misunderstand me when I'm talking about fear this morning, because fear is a God-given emotion. Fear is something that Adam and Eve experienced in their pre-fallen state, but it was a healthy fear that they experienced, because the fear that they had was an attitude of respect toward God. But that unhealthy fear seeped in. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, as soon as the nectar of the fruit touched the taste buds on their tongue, in came this spirit of fear and began whispering in their ear. It said, "Adam, guess what, buddy? You're naked. And because you're naked, you better go hide, because I'm pretty sure God's coming." Is it not funny? You see, there was nothing else that the devil could accuse Adam and Eve of. Nothing else. They were the only two people on earth. Aside from God, it was just Adam and Eve that they saw. But somehow they were afraid because they were naked. The devil couldn't say, hey, you missed Sunday school, so God's going to be mad at you. You missed your Bible lesson, so God's going to be mad at you. You didn't pray like you were supposed to, so God's going to be mad at you. No, he told Adam and Eve, you guys are naked and God's going to be mad. The devil will use the smallest things to accuse you, and this is the spirit of fear that he uses as a tool to control you. The Bible says that Adam and Eve ran and hid because they heard God coming in the garden. God comes and he says, Adam, Eve, where are you guys? And they come out. God said, why were you hiding? Adam said, we were afraid because we were naked. And I want you to hear this. This is what God said to Adam. This was the very next thing he said. He said, who told you that? It was that spirit of fear that was loosed as soon as they ate of that fruit, that the devil, who was like a roaring lion, as soon as they ate that fruit, that cage was opened up and the spirit of fear had liberty to roam throughout the paradise garden. It was able to look at Adam and Eve and say, you're mine now because you've just opened up the door to sin, and it's going to take the rest of your life battling me and the things I say to you. This is the spirit of fear. That hedge of protection that Adam and Eve once had while they were living there in paradise was no more. Spirit of fear. Spirit of fear. Now, it says that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but he gave us the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Now, I know that the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind, I know what that spirit is. That spirit is the Holy Spirit that God gives us. So if that's the spirit that he's talking about, those three things, then what spirit is he talking about as of the spirit of fear? This is none other than demonic powers that is seeking to prey on you. We don't like to talk about that stuff in church anymore because that's scary. That topic just makes me uncomfortable. But if you believe your Bible like I believe my Bible and believe that this word of God is infallible, then you will understand that in Ephesians 6, he says, this battle is not against flesh and blood. This battle is against principalities, spirits of the dark. When you hear those voices that's coming at you and accusing you, it is nothing more than the devil trying to ensnare you, because this is one of the biggest tools that the adversary can use against us to weigh us down. You see, in the first interaction that Moses had with God, Moses saw that there was a bush and it was on fire. He said, that's pretty interesting because there's a bush on fire, but it's not burning up. So I'm going to go on over and I'm going to take a look at it. And he begins walking over to the burning bush, and God speaks through the burning bush. He says, Moses, and Moses says, here am I. He says, don't come any closer. Take off your shoes because the ground that you stand on is holy. But then God introduces himself. He says, I am the God of your father. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. And I am the God of Jacob. And what happens next is that same spirit that Adam and Eve experienced when the devil said, you're naked. Because the next thing that happened, it says in the Bible that Moses hid his face because he was afraid. You ever experienced that individual that hides from God because they feel like some of the things that they've done is just, they can't go before God. They can't even say his name. They live in fear of ever going up because what they have done has just been too big. But here you have Moses, and God speaking to Moses, and he says, Moses, I have a plan for you. And I'm sure that Moses hid his face because that spirit of fear began to whisper in his ear, and he says, you need to be afraid because you've killed a man, Moses. You killed a man and you tried to cover him up. Who are you to be sitting here talking to God? You're not worthy to be in his presence. But God said, I've got a purpose for you, Moses. I know the things that you've done, but I've got a calling on your life. I've got a destiny ahead for you. So God begins to speak to Moses, and he shows Moses numerous signs and tells him exactly what he wants to do. And we all know that that spirit began to speak to Moses again. Said, hey, Moses, you can't do that. Remember, you have a stutter. You can't go before Pharaoh because you've got an issue with your mouth. You can't speak eloquently enough to go before this man. And Moses tells God that. I can't do that. There's no way I have the capabilities of being the person that you need me to be. The devil was telling Moses his faults. He was reminding Moses of the issues that he had. That's exactly what the devil does. Anything that we've been through, any fault that we've had, any issue that we've had in the past, the devil will always remind you of that to keep you down. The devil will say, remember that one time you were sick and you had to miss Sunday school, and not one person from church called to see if you were okay. That church doesn't love you. That church doesn't care. Why even bother going to that church? It says you remember that Christian person that you love and you respected, and that person ended up stabbing you in the back. All Christians are exactly the same, waiting just to hurt you. You should separate yourself from them. Or you remember that one time when you were driving too fast and the officer pulled you over because you were speeding, walked up to your car, asked you if you were wearing your seatbelt, and you said yes, and you know good and well it wasn't on. You're a liar. You're nothing more than a hypocrite. You're a fraud. Why keep pushing forward? Because you're a failure. The spirit of fear always wants to say, remember that one time. Remember this time. Remember who that person is and what they did to you. Fool me once. Don't let them make a fool out of you. This is what the devil was saying to Moses. You don't have what it takes to fulfill what it is that God has for you. I'm telling you this morning, fear is a liar. The spirit of fear will tell you anything and everything. Whatever it takes to keep you down. Whatever it takes to keep you from growing closer to God. Let me ask you this morning, what is your stutter? What is it that the devil uses against you to hold you back from walking into the plans that God has for you? I want you to think about that, and once you identify what your stutter is, you need to call it out and speak God's word to it. Because what did God say to Moses when he said, God, I cannot do that because I cannot speak well enough because nobody will respect me. God told Moses, He said, who made man's mouth? Who made the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Is it not me, the Lord? You see, when you speak God's word to your fears, you build your faith. Because what does the Bible say? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So when that spirit of fear begins to whisper in your ear and says, you'll never amount to anything, you can say, liar, I am more than a conqueror. If you pursue that calling, if the devil says, you'll fall flat on your face, you can say, liar, because I know the plans that God has for me are plans of good. The devil would say, God will never forgive you. Liar. No depths nor heights could separate me from the love of God. No weapon formed against me will ever prosper. We see Moses, and he takes on this position and goes into this calling that God is leading him to. And as you go on in the story, you'll see that they've already been wandering, and Moses has been up to Mount Sinai, and he gets the stone tablets and he brings it down, and everything's gone crazy. They build the golden calf. Moses breaks the tablets, and then Moses goes back and talks to God again. And it's in this conversation that Moses has with God where you see a different person than you did when the time that he spoke to God through the burning bush. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 33. We'll be going to verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Verse 18, and I want you to hear this. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. Moses said, if you want me to do this thing it is that you have me to do, then I've got to know you more. The relationship that we have has got to be closer. You first see Moses talking to a burning bush, hiding his face because he's afraid. And now he's talking to God, standing in front of God and says, show me your glory. Regardless of the consequence, because then God said, I will show you my hindsight, because if you see my face, you're going to die. That's how we need to be in the face of fear. We need to lean into God. We need to say, I need to know you more. If I'm going to go through this journey, if I have this trial that I'm going through, I cannot do it alone. I've got to seek after you. Show me your glory. Fear is a liar. Doug, if you'll come on back up. What is your stutter? What is it that the devil tells you? Zach Williams, who is a famous contemporary Christian singer, wrote that very song called Fear is a Liar. And the lyrics goes like this. When he told you you're not good enough. When he told you you're not right. When he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight. When he told you you're not worthy. When he told you you're not loved. When he told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. When he told you you were troubled, you'll forever be alone. When he told you you should run away because you'll never find a home. When he told you you were dirty and you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one that grace could never change. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps, cast your fear into the fire. I want you to hear me this morning, brothers and sisters. Don't let the voice of the enemy weigh you down. Because we have such a greater voice in the Word of God. There's no reason why we should listen to the voices in our head when the Creator of the universe gave us His Word right here. And in this Word, it says we are a chosen people. It says that we are more than conquerors. It says that no weapon formed against us should ever prosper. He says, you can do all things through me because I give you strength. Fear is a liar. You know, sometimes in those hard times that I was talking about, it's difficult to be able to lean into God. But sometimes the greatest form of worship, and don't get me wrong, because I love to clap my hands. I love to lift my hands up in the air. I love to sing praises to God. But sometimes the greatest form of worship is just standing. Saying, devil, you might have me down, but I'm going to stand. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let's sing this morning.